Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. The sermon is for our graduate or graduates. So, Travis, this is just for you. Good or bad, stepping on your toes or not, this is just for you. So I'm going to be looking at you a lot. But also, it's for everyone who calls himself a Christian. Amen? Let your light shine in the darkness. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius, who was the king, to set over his kingdom 120 princes, which should be over this whole kingdom. And over those 120, there was three named presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the other presidents and princes, because he had an excellent spirit which was in him. And the king thought, it is well to set him over the whole realm. Then the other presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion or something against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find anything or a fault against him, for as much as Daniel was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said together, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king, and they said unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, they consulted together to establish a royal statute, a new law, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now we ask you, king, to establish this decree and sign the writing so that it may not be changed. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, there will be no altering of it. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and this new decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows were opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Daniel kneeled down upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God, just like he did before the new law. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, and they made supplication before his God, and they came near and spoke before the king concerning this king's new law. Didn't you not sign a new law or a decree that every man shall not ask a petition or pray to any god or man within for 30 days except for you, O king? Otherwise shall he not be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to this new law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. Then answered they, and they said to the king, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he did not regard this new law. He did not regard you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed. Instead, he made his petition. He prays three times a day to his God. In verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, he was displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him or show mercy on him. But these men assembled unto the king, and they said unto him, you know, king, that the law of the Medes and the Persian is this, that no decree or statute which the king establishes himself can ever be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Let us pray right there. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you again for this day you have given us. Father, we rejoice and say congratulations to our graduates. And Father, we pray, Lord, you'll continue to bless them, especially Travis here, who is here today. Father, as we honor him, as we congratulate him, Father, we want to pray for him and all of our graduates, that you continue to make them strong and bold and courageous. May they be like Daniel, in the face of adversity, still kneeling and praying before his God. Father, be with us as a church. Father, may we also be bold and courageous, never wavering on our faith with you, always praying. Father, may we be found on our knees praying and serving you, no matter what the law may be. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, "You are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." This man named Daniel was a Jew who was born a Jew. He lived in ancient Judah, that part of Israel, probably near Jerusalem. As a youth of around the age of 15 or so, in 605 BC, he was taken captive to Babylon after Israel was defeated by the Assyrians led by King Nebuchadnezzar. At this particular time, the book of Daniel, the person Daniel was living in Babylon. By God's divine orchestration, Daniel had become a high-ranking governmental official there in Babylon. He was also a prophet of the true God, prophesying and encouraging the Jews who had also been removed from Israel and taken captive to Babylon. Because Daniel had successfully interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he was given this place of prominence and responsibility in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Later, after Nebuchadnezzar had died, Daniel was called upon to interpret the writing that appeared on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. Later, under King Darius, Daniel was made one of the king's three presidents. According to chapter 6, verse 2, as we read there, we find that Daniel was the first or the top president. He was the king's president of choice. He was over the king's treasury. He was at a most trusted position in King Darius's kingdom. Daniel obtained that position there in verse 3, we find, because he was of an excellent spirit. You see, Daniel was holy. He was just. He was righteous. He worshiped and obeyed his God, the God of Israel, no matter what the cost. However, in a rage of jealousy, the other two presidents and the leaders were trying to figure out a way to try to find something wrong in Daniel's life. They were looking for a way to tear him down, perhaps destroy his reputation and position in the kingdom. Sounds much like our society of today, always looking to tear someone down. When they could not find anything bad about Daniel, they came up with a plot against him. And they were able to persuade King Darius to enact this new law. A new law that stated for the next 30 days, everyone in the kingdom was only to pray to the king. No one was allowed to pray to their personal God. Well, that affected Daniel immensely. You see, Daniel was known to always pray to the God of Israel. Daniel always prayed to Yahweh, Jehovah. His habit was that three times a day in his house, he would get on his knees in front of an open window with his face toward Jerusalem, and he would pray to God. That was his practice. That was what Daniel was known for, and Daniel continued to do that, even in spite of this new law. For you see, no new law was going to alter his prayers and his worship of his God. I'll stop right there for a minute. I kind of think about what's happened in our country just in my lifetime. There was a time in my lifetime when we had crosses in public squares. There was a time in my lifetime when we had manger scenes on government property. There was a time in my lifetime when we had the Ten Commandments hanging on walls of schools and courtrooms. There was a time in my life when we stopped long enough to say a prayer in school or read a Bible verse. And it seems even in my own lifetime that has been removed from us. And even in that, we're still going to say, we're still going to be a people who all these laws can be in place, but it's not going to alter me. I'm still going to pray and worship God. When I was in school, that's when they took out school prayer. No more praying in public schools. Travis, I like what you said. Because you see, I wouldn't have got through school without praying in the school. There were many a times I would take a test and I would pray to God, help me on this test. When the law said no more praying in school, I was still praying in school. Amen? after all of these presidents and leaders were able to get the king to sign this new law, they waited for the right opportunity to catch Daniel in the very act of praying. And when they did, they immediately reported Daniel's conduct to King Darius. The Bible says when Darius heard these charges and allegations, he was saddened. For you see, he respected Daniel. He trusted Daniel. He loved Daniel. But before Darius could perhaps entertain some thought of leniency or mercy toward Daniel, his leaders reminded him about this new law and the consequences of not following it. They reminded King Darius of the punishment to anyone who broke the law, and they reminded him that even he could not change that law, because it was decreed under the king's own seal. With that, Darius had no choice but to carry through with the judgment and the punishment. And so he had Daniel thrown into the lion's den to be eaten alive. Today is graduation Sunday. It's a day of celebration for our graduates, a day when they can begin to look forward to the future, start creating their own lives and a course of direction. Travis, I'm glad to hear, you know, you got aspirations to be a firefighter. And you already know you got to take some classes and get some education before you turn 21. You're already thinking about preparing for that occupation. You have spent the last 12 years in school preparing for this day in which you will now venture out into the future, venture out into a world that is so big and vast and unknown. It's a world of opportunity. And to a large degree, there's no boundary as to what you can accomplish. But it's also a world of darkness and evil, turmoil and strife. I'm amazed at how worse this world has become in just the time when you first started kindergarten 20 or 12 years ago. Every day it seems like just another cloud has spread a dark shadow across our land. I don't have to tell you and remind you, killings are at an all-time high. And by the way, it's not the fault of the guns. The killings take place at the hands of the ones who are holding the guns. Amen. Rapes, robberies, abuses, neglect, drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, gender, race, sanctity of life are all in the midst of crises. Misuse of power, greed, lust, ridicule, disobedience, disrespect, moral decay, fake news. All of these things are having an evil impact on our society, a society that you, graduate, and you, church, are a part of. Recently, the relentless reporting of widespread sexual harassment has dominated news media, and it appears to be only the beginning. Television hosts, congressmen, Hollywood elites, journalists, businessmen, even church and denominational leaders have all now confessed the grievous acts of sexual harassment and immoral failure. Just this past Friday, it was reported that a church here in South Haven, its pastor was arrested and booked. Its youth pastor is being sought after, indicted for acts of sexual misconduct. Let me just say this, as your pastor. Teenagers and kids, listen. If you have been touched inappropriately, or you have been consulted with or had someone advance you in a way that you're uncomfortable with, you need to tell someone. You could tell me, you can tell Miss Jean. And church, I want you to know that if that happens, this pastor does this on the very first minute. He calls the authorities to come investigate. And don't tell me, yeah, but it's just this person or, you know, no. We'll call the authorities. Because you see, that type of sexual misconduct has no place in the house of God. Amen? And we need to nip that before it even starts. Tiffany, you and your leaders, make sure you're not alone with the opposite sex. Even if it's your students, even if it's other adults, Just don't get trapped in that. Students, same thing. Safeguard yourself, be aware, and then report something that's inappropriate. These repercussions have had enormous effects. Women and men even are being hindered. They're being accosted. It's having an effect across our whole country. Employers, co-workers, church leaders of all of this inappropriate behavior. Online pornography use is at an all-time high. Gay and transgender characters are now a common sight on television newscasts and shows, in the movies, and even in children's programs and children's books. Atheists are bent on eradicating any mention of God in town halls or schools or even sporting events. Drug addiction, especially to opioid painkillers, is an epidemic that has quickly gotten out of hand in just the last 9 years. Mass shootings are no longer a rare occurrence. They report that they're happening weekly. And they're happening in once sacred places like schools, public venues, and churches like Sulphur Springs, Texas. The weapons of worldwide terrorist groups are no longer just homemade bombs. They are also cars and trucks, which can run down citizens in broad daylight on busy city streets or on bike trails or parks. All over the world, the darkness is just as widespread. Christians in the Middle East continue to suffer intense persecution from Islamic terrorists, oppressive governments. And even though many in our country are now applauding the efforts of our president and our nation for negotiating peace with North Korea, it is North Korea who continues to remain the top country in the world, as it has been for the last 17 years, who persecutes and kills Christians. We need to understand and know that. Amen. Many leaders and people continue to think that we're on the verge of nuclear war. This past week, I read an article that said this, and I quote, "Today we are witnessing the evil empire of Iran moving weapons and positioning military bases in Syria for the single-minded goal of destroying Israel." As an Iranian military leader declared recently in a chilling threat to Israel's survival, "The date of Israel's destruction has been set." A member of the Revolutionary Guard bragged, "You are now living in the dragon's mouth," end quote. North Korea, Syria, Iran, Russia, not one of those countries can be trusted with their weapons of mass destruction. By the way, as I speak this morning and has been the practice for the last several years, it is North Korea who is supplying the Iranians with weapons which they intend to use against Israel. Do we know that? Do we even care? Do we understand what's going on in our world today? All of this continues to be at the forefront of a very real threat of atomic conflict, of war, that could have catastrophic consequences for the entire world and our human race. Think about that. The thought of nuclear weapons being launched from any country, and then the reciprocal military response by us or other countries, is frightening. Indeed, it has been stated that our world can be destroyed in a matter of 7 minutes if an all-out nuclear war started. Today, as we celebrate graduation, ironically, it has never been a more dangerous time to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But the Bible is clear about this. Moral and spiritual darkness has always been the case for a world that rejects and refuses to acknowledge the God of creation. In describing this godless culture that God hates, the Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 1. Read with me if you would, starting in verse 18. Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, but instead they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. These people changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in doing those very things. Darkness has engulfed our whole world. We are a culture that has become immune and hateful toward God. And the Apostle Paul says, here's the result of being hateful. Here's the result of removing God from your society. You will have people who not only want to do these things, but they take great pleasure in doing all of those things that dishonor God. Moral darkness invariably leads to unruly, disobedient living that defies God's commandments and His principles. Immoral living sets the stage for lifestyles and behaviors that eventually will reap destructive consequences. Why am I saying all this? What I believe is happening today is this. It's the incredibly swift spread of darkness across virtually every sector of our culture and society, not only here in the United States, but all around the globe. You see, the Judeo-Christian worldview that once predominated the world, and especially our country, has seen serious erosion. The forces of evil are working on every front to undermine and destroy the foundations of a morally healthy society. What are those foundations that the evil world is trying to undermine and destroy? It's this: respect for authority, the sacredness of marriage between one man and one woman, the value of the family unit, the sanctity of life for the unborn, even our freedom to take a stand for values that we know are right and godly, which are found in God's Word. All of that is trying to be destroyed and undermined by the world in which we live in. And the Bible's clear. Such immoral chaos comes about because people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates light, and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth, he will come to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest and in God. Can I just tell you today, in all boldness and truth, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, amen? In fact, there is no light other than Christ. Those who walk in darkness are those who do not know the Savior of the world. They do not know the author or the creator of life. They don't know Jesus. I had a physics class and a science class together when I was in high school. And I learned something that I've carried with me my whole life. Our teacher there, Mr. Everhart, he says, you know, there is really no such thing as darkness. And so I said, well, now wait a minute. Every night it's dark. I go to bed in the dark. My dad wakes up sometimes in the dark to go to work. What do you mean there's no such thing as darkness? I see it every day. He says, it's merely the absence of light. In that context, we can now understand that all of the evil and darkness of the world is nothing more than the absence of the light, who is Jesus Christ. He is the light. In Him is no darkness. But without Him, without His light, in His absence, there will always be darkness. Amen. And so without a relationship with Jesus Christ in your life, you will be left to wander around in darkness. You will wander and then quickly participate in the evil and the chaos and the sins of the world. But the good news of the gospel is this. For those who repent of their sins and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul proclaims this promise in Colossians chapter 1. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of His inheritance, we are saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Paul put it this way when he was describing the Lord's commandment to him regarding his mission to preach. He says, deliver the people. Deliver them up from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from the power of Satan unto God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Folks, we have a mission here in this church. We are to turn people from their darkness to the light, not just the light, but the light, Jesus Christ. Hell itself is not only the absence of light, but it is complete, utter, total darkness. The Bible calls hell in Matthew chapter 22 outer darkness. In Matthew chapter 25, hell is described as a place prepared exclusively for the devil, fallen angels, and the unrepentant person. In Revelation 22, hell is referred to as a lake of fire or the second death. But the light, capital L, light, that is from above. The light of the world, the light, Jesus. He will be the single source of all light in the new heaven and the new earth. John writes to us in Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night or darkness there, and they will need no candle, neither will they need light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. And today we know that however great and widespread the darkness over the world may be, it can never, nor will it ever, extinguish the true light. Amen? Nothing will be able to conquer or defeat Jesus Christ. John writes to us in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. He was with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it never again. While I can, for as long as I can, as God gives me strength, I will proclaim Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, because He is the light of the world. Amen? Jesus gave us a simple command. There in Matthew chapter 5, He said, let your light so shine before men. Why? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Folks, it's our responsibility as believers to let our light shine before men. We are called upon to honor and glorify God through our good works. We are instructed and commanded to live a godly life. We are to do this regardless of how evil or dark our society or culture has or will ever become. Amen? The Bible calls on us Philippians 2:15 says to be blameless and innocent. Be children of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. When King Darius put Daniel into that lion's den, he uttered some rather interesting words. He said, Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. That night, the Bible says that the king fasted alone in sorrow in his room. The next morning, he rose up and he went right to that lion's den. And the king cried out, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually, is he really able to deliver thee even from the lion's den? Immediately, a voice from the bottom of that pit could be heard saying, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he has shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have no hurt. Upon hearing that Daniel was okay, saved by Daniel's God, King Darius ordered him released from that den. God had saved and delivered Daniel because Daniel had remained faithful to God in spite of the evilness that was in the world. Daniel let his light shine. He did not cave into the darkness of the world. He remained strong. He remained committed to the Lord, and the Lord rescued him. And so, Travis, here's what I say to you today. And all of our graduates, let your light shine. Let your light shine bright in this otherwise dark, evil, sin-filled world. Let the light Jesus lead you and guide you and inspire you and motivate you to make this world a better place for yourself and for all who are here. But more importantly, let your light shine to make the world better for the kingdom of God. You already have a mission in life. Graduates, church, all of us, we have a mission in life. It was given to us by God, for the one who created you. Here's the mission: to glorify him. Jesus said in Matthew 29, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go and make and teach all nations. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Remember this, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be holy, be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus says, let your light shine. Travis, be a godly example in all that you do. I have a phrase that I've used my entire life. Whatever I do, say, or think, may it bring glory and honor to my Lord Jesus Christ. It's taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Read it with me. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. I want to close with some positive, uplifting verses of the Bible. As I read these with you, let them penetrate deep within your heart. Let them soothe your soul. Let them be forever etched in your mind. The prophet Isaiah says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. He writes in chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto those that put darkness in the place of light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He said in chapter 8, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that utter, should not a people seek their own God instead? For the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this world, it is because there is no light in them. He said, "Who is among you that fears the Lord? Who is there that obeys the voice of his servant and walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the people. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance." Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee never become darkness." He added in John chapter 12, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you might be the children of light." Graduates, people of the Lord, church family, let your light shine before men. Always be children, adults, and people of the light of Jesus. And be like Daniel. Travis, graduates, be like Daniel. Stand strong and committed to the Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning.